Hi, and welcome to Write Better Now, a podcast of quick weekly writing tips meant to help you become a better writer.
We're your hosts, and I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones and wife extraordinaire.
And I'm here with copy editor extraordinaire Sean Farrar.
Thank you for joining us. Writing tip of the pod. That ends with a D, not a T. The pod.
Pod. So this week's writing podcast is entitled
How to Make Your Writing More Intense.
For your husband. So it's writing tip time. And we're going to give you three fast and dirty writing tips today that's going to make your writing more intense.
Sweet.
All right. So the first part is
think about your tits.
So wait, maybe, hold on. Can we backpedal?
Yeah.
Why do you want your writing to be more intense? Intense is just like another word for immediate. You don't want to have like your reader's distance from the action. You want to hook them in and bring them along, right? Yeah. And so a lot of writing coaches will talk about, you know, the first paragraph, which is super important. But these are more things for the whole entire novel.
Right.
Like if your novel reads like stage directions or like it has like a lot of certain elements to it, people are just going to be bored and nod off and not want to read it.
Right.
So lots of times when you submit to an agent or you get reader feedback, they'll be like, I wasn't super into it. I couldn't connect. Or, oh, I wasn't super into it. It was just kind of dull. Like I couldn't, it was like a, you know.
Oh, I've experienced that a lot. Just in real books.
Reading them?
Not my subject matter, I guess, or whatever, but sometimes they probably just weren't written for my way of reading either.
So here are a few ways to, in a whole book way, to think about how you can make your story more immediate. And the first one is...
Is what?
It's right here, babe.
Oh, I already said that, but I'll say it again.
Yeah, right.
Think about your tense.
All right. So what's that mean? It doesn't mean like writing like things are happening right now. I'm sorry. That's not quite what it is. It means like don't write like things are happening now.
Yeah.
And then shift over like things were happening in the past. So if you want the most immediate writing experience, it's hard, but you can write in the present tense. And that does make some readers go,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it makes it more immediate because you're living the experience with the
person
in the story, right?
Right.
So here's a quick example.
I lost feeling on my entire left side of my body during our long run on Friday. I thought I might be having a stroke.
Right? So that's in the past tense. And when we read it, we're like, oh, it's in the first person because it's the I. And we figure that the narrator survived because she's telling us about this after the fact. But if you try it out in the present tense.
I lose feeling on my entire left side of my body during our long run. I think I might be having a stroke.
It's a little more intense, right? Same words, same exact sentence structure. But you're like, oh, is she having a stroke? Probably not. But yeah, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Just a hypochondriac.
So really, it's like, that's exactly what it is. It's like you're right there in her brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they're telling it to you after the fact, right?
Well.
No, that's the first.
The first one. Yeah. All right. So let's make it even more intense, right? Ooh, can you
handle
it?
No, I don't know if I can handle it.
So you want to take out the distancing words.
Oh.
So in first person especially, it's really hard to get away from a lot of looking and knowing. I looked, I saw, I know, I knew, that kind of stuff. And those words pull us out of the moment and the immediacy of the character's experience. So distancing language tends to be the words like seem and look and heard and no.
Right.
And when I revise, I think of these words as placeholders for where I can go back and dig in a little more deeply in certain places.
Oh.
So let's take that sentence again and make it more immediate.
I lose feeling on my entire left side of my body during our long run. I think I might be having a stroke.
So that's the original sentence, but change it up and it looks like
my entire left side of my body starts going numb during our long run. My left foot numbs first. Then my left arm and hand. When the left side of my mouth starts going numb, I gasp. I might be having a stroke.
You're making fun. All right,
I am not. That sounds horrible because there's nobody there to hear me. And then I fall face first onto the hard pavement.
There is someone there to read with them because it says our long run.
Oh, well, she's talking to herself, so I thought she might just really be talking to herself, you know.
She's making herself plural, too. Okay, so you're in there with the character a little bit more right now, right?
Yeah.
Is she having a stroke? What the heck is she running for? She's broken.
I know.
Like, oh, my word. Like, now we can feel it as it happens. It's her left foot, then her hand, and her arm, and then her mouth. She somehow still manages to gasp, which is pretty impressive, honestly.
I know. I was going to add out of half of my mouth. I didn't want to add
it. So the next step or trick, and again, all of these are in the podcast notes and at carriejonesbooks.blog. And the last one, I think, is, yes, try not to use the same word
too many times, too closely together.
Right. So in the example above, I deliberately used the word numb in my left over and over and over again because I'm cool with the repetition of left because
that's indicative of something
strokey.
Right.
But I'm not so cool with the word numb. That's because there are better, cooler words to mix in there and grab the reader's attention. So let's try
this again.
Yes.
My entire left side of my body starts going numb during our long run. My left foot disappears first. Then my left then my left hand and arm. I'm fading away to nothing. Now, when the left side of my mouth starts to tingle, I gasp. I might be having a stroke.
You woke up the dog, is what you just did.
But my husband is one of those that runs far ahead and never looks back.
There you go. We've learned 3 fast tips to making your writing more intense. So I'll condense. The writing tip of the pod is...
be in the present tense. Don't be distant. Mix up your words, man.
Yeah, man. Mix them up.
Yeah.
But maybe not put disappears in the first one.
Like if you're going to say Dwayne Johnson, make it Jane Dwanson. Mix up your words.
No, that's not. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for listening to Write Better Now. These podcasts and more writing tips are on Carrie's website, carriejonesbooks.blog. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or share this podcast.
There's a donation button over there on my blog and lots of other content. And honest to goodness, I sound like such a mama. Honest to goodness, even a dollar inspires us to do a happy dance. So thank you for your support. The music that you hear is made available through the Creative Commons. And
it's a bit of a shortened track from the fantastic Mr. Ruiz. And this track is Arctic Air off the album Winter Haze. Summer days. So that brings us close. You got weed themed music on our stuff, honey.
All our podcasts.
Rogue for Spleef.
Hey, and if you like this podcast,
Summer Spleef,
you can listen to Dogs Are Smarter Than People or Carrie Does Poems or Loving the Strange. Thanks for listening.
The other two are funny. This one's serious.
It's so serious.